more teaching than preaching. And I want to help us with praise. Psalm 66 is where we'll start. I wouldn't say this is my strong point. I probably need to do work on this with the church, just because it's not part of this is not what I'm good at, and our church is not good at this, so I want to give us a Bible study, and we believe the Bible, amen. The Bible says it, and we don't do it, then we need to say, okay, it's going to make me uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it because the Bible says it. And I want to talk about title of the message is Make His Praise Glorious. Make His Praise Glorious, Psalm 66 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Make His praise glorious. Make the praise of God a glorious thing, majestic, beautiful. Praise the Lord and make it glorious. That's what it says. The word glorious is glorious a good word for it. Splendor is another word that you could translate it as, a similar definition. Make the praise of God glorious. Would you define your praise of God as glorious? Would you define the way Open Door praises God as glorious? And I don't think that I would. I don't say that as an attack on you. I think it's something that we need to be taught, and that I'm not the best at, and so we need to work on. I want to work on this. I think it'll help our church. I think it'll help people come into our church to do this right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, speak to us and help us understand your word. Help us to see with clarity what you want and what your godliest people who wrote scripture says we should do, and to praise you, Father. You are worthy of praise, and you get a lot of criticism. May we make your praise glorious. Show us how. Show us what your word says. And may we be submissive to it. May we grow in this and be helped in this. In Jesus' name, amen. We are not an expressive church. I've told you that before. That a lot of guest speakers talk about that. I don't think that's bad necessarily. I've seen expressive churches who are full of hypocrites. And they were hyper-emotional and, and then, you know, I'll drink it on Monday. And I don't think that is a sign of how spiritual a church is how much people scream and yell. And in a church service, the Bible says that all things be done decently and in order. So a service that's chaotic is unbiblical. So we don't want that either. People rolling in the aisles and going crazy and all kinds of stuff, and the preacher can't be heard, and all the stuff that wouldn't be biblical isn't right. However, and we had several things that make it so we're not very good at this. Number one is I'm not expressive on the outside. Behind the pulpit is as expressive as I ever am, but I am a constantly in my life, my family will tell you this, I'm constantly have to tell people I'm joking or something, because I say everything stone-faced, you know, and people don't know if I'm joking or serious, and I'm not super expressive. In front of a crowd, I need to be, so I try to be more, but I'm not good at that, and I'm not. I came from a very unappreciative family who just criticized and never really said thanks, and you're doing great, and everything else. So I've worked on that over the years to get more thankful and say things to people. Now, I don't have it personally towards God. I love to praise God, and I like when I'm alone, I do very well. I throw Baptist-costal fits and praise the Lord and raise my hands and thank the Lord when I'm praying. I was here last night, late at night, and I took off my shoes and socks because I was on holy ground and praised the Lord and prayed while I was here last night. And don't ever come by here late at night when I'm here, okay? You'll embarrass myself. And so... But in front of people, I can get alone. I'll sing songs. I'll drive my car sometimes and just start, you know, really getting into it and praising the Lord and raising my hands and doing stuff in the car sometimes. And it's no big deal. But just around people, I'm not very expressive. And talking personally to people, I don't express a whole bunch. Our church is also a church where I'm not the kind of preacher who my preaching is teachy. And so people are listening and learning and taking notes. And so people generally aren't going, amen, and because I didn't say, you know, bless God, you need to do this, you know, kind of make a little, I broke something in there, and I'm not of, you didn't know that I was that powerful, did you? And it's not the way I preach. Sometimes in the mission field, I'm a little embarrassed because sometimes I'm in a country, and this country, they get with it when they preach. And generally, you know, I'm so laid back. And they're getting ready, and they're trying to figure me out and figure out when to amen me, and I'm teaching, and pretty soon they're listening and learning something, and pretty soon it turns into quiet service. Now, I don't, it doesn't bother me much, but people coming in don't know that you're with me because you're quiet. Amen? See? And and so we are not an expressive church. Plus, one weird thing about the ministry is I've always been taught, and it's very true, is you attract what you are. Okay? And our church attracts people who are not extroverts. It's like greeting time. It's like, would you go shake somebody's hand? And it's kind of like not unfriendly, not mean, and not cruel, but our people are kind of people who don't like to be noticed. We don't have problems with servants, people being quiet, and I don't know, we don't have a gossip problem. We don't have that stuff. We just have people who are just kind of mum. And so they don't like to be noticed. If one of you stood up and said, "Wow, praise the Lord," every one of you would go, "What?" And because it's not the way our church is. So we got all those things working together. But in the Bible, even if we don't like it and it's not our nature, we need to praise the Lord. And you say, "Okay, I'll do it privately. I'll do it in my own home." That's great and that's good and that's biblical. We'll get into that. But it's not the only place and where you're supposed to praise the Lord. And a lot of what I teach you is not very Baptist. Okay, Baptists don't do this stuff. Okay, but I'm Baptist. Some Baptists need to learn to be good Christians, and I'm just not that strong of a Baptist in general. I preach the Bible, and if Baptist doctrine lines up with it, fine. If it doesn't, fine. It doesn't bother me. We're Baptists because they are very close to the Bible. I like the evangelism, I like the solid doctrine, but the Bible is my authority. Amen. Okay, the Bible is my authority, and if Baptists don't praise the Lord, good, but the Bible says you should praise this way, then we'll do it the way the Bible says, not the way Baptists do it. Okay, and so that's all that to get to my first sentence. And get there. In the Bible, thankfulness and prayer are very similar. Giving thanks and praise are very similar. As a matter of fact, you'll have a hard time finding the word praise in the New Testament. You'll find the word giving thanks, the phrase giving thanks, much more often. You'll find praise, I'm going to say 10 times in the New Testament. You'll find giving thanks many times. And you won't find giving thanks as much in the Old Testament as praise, but it's the same thing. Praising is just praising the Lord, thanking him for what he did, giving glory to him and shining light on him. And there's little small nuances, but it's very similar. There are two parts, and this is an important foundation of the entire message here. There are two parts to praise, okay? The first part is feeling thanks. Let me take you to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. There are two parts to praise or giving thanks, either one. And the first part I want to say is feeling it. Okay? I am thankful. Okay? That's awesome. That's the first part of it. Okay? Let's look at Psalm 100 to give us both parts. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And we'll read this chapter in a couple of different verses a couple times. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Notice in verse 4, there's you are doing something, and you're feeling something. Enter into his courts with praise. Give praises unto God, and be thankful. Okay? Be thankful unto him. Here's the problem many people have, is they are thankful, but they do not praise. It's two different things. Now, a bigger problem is very few people are thankful, as we learned this morning. Very few people really appreciate and are glad or thankful they're alive today and thankful for salvation and thankful for the Bible and thankful for church and thankful for God's presence and all the thousands of things we could be thankful for. As we talked this morning, very few people have the appreciation part. Now, there are some people who have the appreciation part and are enjoying it, but they don't stop and praise the Lord. Okay? That's the second part of it. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So it says, serve the Lord with gladness, verse 2. That's something inside. Come before his presence with singing. That's something different. You see the difference? So if you're a person who has it all inside and say, well, I feel it, but I just don't say it, then you're only halfway there. Amen?
Amen.
So if you do not express it, you are not praising the Lord, and you're commanded in the Bible to praise the Lord. You're commanded to do the second part, which is not just feel a thing of gratitude. And enough of this stuff where people who don't feel like it say, oh, I feel it inside. I just don't want to say anything. I feel love for them. I just don't want to say anything. That's all unbiblical. You're supposed to show and express, and hereby shall all men know you're my disciples. You have love for one for another. How say you have the love of God and don't feed a poor person? James says. Listen, the outward expression, the outward movements and deeds that back up what's inside are just as important in the Bible. Okay, yeah, not both of them. And so if you just feel it, and you know, I felt like saying something, then you didn't. I felt like rescuing them from the river. It was inside of me, so it's fine. No, you didn't do anything good. As a matter of fact, if you felt like rescuing them and you let them drown, you're probably more guilty. Because feeling something inside, and okay, somebody walks up tonight and they say, you know what? I know you've been struggling. I want you to know I'm praying for you. And you know what? I know you're behind in your mortgage. I'm going to pay for your mortgage this month so you have a house. And you say, And you walk away. You say, that was rude. No, it was not. I felt it inside. I felt appreciation. My wife comes to me. She's nice to me, and she brings me food. She brought me food in my recliner today. Is that the life or what? I am a thankful man. And so she brought me that food, and I just go, food. Now, that'd be something, that's man language there, and to get a little bit out. But you know what? If I feel it and don't say thank you, people think you're rude. Because expressing it is part of the appreciation, right? And so we've got to do both parts. So Colossians 3:15 says, and be ye thankful. That's a state of mind. But Romans 1:18 and 1,000 other verses say, giving thanks always to God. Okay? And so you understand, you feel the appreciation, then you express the praise to God. A few things. Number one, make his praise glorious. Make it a big deal. Make it beautiful. Make it a big deal. Praise the Lord. Listen, the people watching the NCAA tournament right now are praising their team when they win. They got flags, their faces painted, they're weird, they're crazy, they're screaming, they're yelling, they're walking around with their shirts on. They make a big deal out of the praise in their team. If they can make that praise of some guy who can put a hunk of leather through a little round piece of metal that big and that big a deal, why can't you praise the Lord for all that he's done for you, which really matters? Make his praise glorious. Number two, his praise is to be made known. Let's go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, bunch of places, bunch of ways. It's to be public. It's to be made known. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And verse 26. Bless ye God and the congregation, even the Lord from the fountains of Israel. It says right there, bless God and the congregation. That's around people. Psalm 35. and verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Look at Psalm 96. The devil's trying to talk you out of it right now, isn't he? You don't want to say anything in front of everybody. You can't do it. You don't need... But be careful. If you say you believe the Bible, it's pretty clear here. Psalm 96, verse 3. Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. It says even tell the heathen what God's done. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Are we getting a pretty clear picture here? Amen. It's saying it, isn't it? It's saying you're supposed to talk about his mighty works. You're supposed to go among people and say, the Lord did this for me. God did this great thing. The Lord did this amazing thing. You should be doing that. It's to be made known. Psalm 95. Verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him, unto him with psalms. So as we come before him and we are doing this, publicly and making a joyful noise and coming before him with praising. I'm going to say this. If we were right, I would have to say is to about four or five people tonight, I would have to say, you know what? We already got enough praise. People want to give some praises tonight. Because I already got three people coming up and to praise the Lord. Three people who wrote something out. Three people I'm going to read their testimony because they wanted to. What did God do for you this week you have not let anybody know about? What did God do for you in your life that you've never bragged on God? You've never made a glorious praise of him. How blessed are you today and you have not made his praises known? Amen. We should have a line every service. People come and say, Pastor, I got to tell what God did from this week. I got to share what God's done. Can I write it out? I'm not very good in front of crowds, but I've got to tell how good God. I got to give God some glory today. Wouldn't that be good if we did that? During the service, and I say, Jesus saves, somebody should say, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. In the middle of singing some great song, you ought to be able to stop and weep because you're not thinking about the notes, and you're not thinking about harmonizing, and you're not thinking about how the person behind you can't sing worth a lick. What you're thinking about is prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. And praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. And praise the Lord, it's well with my soul. And people with their passion and are less worried about the people thinking about them or next to them are thinking, they're praising God right there in church. Imagine that. You praise the Lord. Sometimes it is loud in the Bible. We could take it to verses in Chronicles, where they sing it loudly to people. Look at Matthew 21, and don't leave Psalms. We'll be back there. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Jesus in the temple threw everybody out, and you know the story. We just preached on it. The service, verse 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. The kids, the children are praising Jesus for the wonderful things that he was doing. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings as thou perfected praise? Praise like children being excited. I love the laughter of children, the excitement of children, and the happiness of children. And you know, that should be, we're so happy with our Father. We're praising. We're happy. We're joyful. And they were making a big deal. And they said, "Do you hear those children making all the noise?" He says, "Yeah, they perfected praise. Children know how to praise. Adults get too dignified. And too worried about somebody looking at them. And too worried about what people are going to say about them and how they'll stand out." So how do we praise the Lord? Real simple things here, but we'll go through some of them. Psalm 9. How do you praise the Lord? How should you praise the Lord? Well, the most common one probably in the Bible is singing. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise unto thy name, O Most High. Let's go to Psalm 100. We're going to read another verse from there. And verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You can see the other verses and all the... There's so many verses we could read. In the book of Psalms is a lot of praises. Psalm 147. It says, praise the Lord, for it is a good thing to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. You should sing praise to God. And I'm so glad we still sing godly songs that praise the Lord, that aren't some noisy, entertainment, repetitive mess. I want you to understand real clearly, it is not the age of a song that makes us want to sing a song. It's biblical to sing a new song to the Lord. Someone can be written in 2015 and be a great song to praise to God. The reason we sing so many old songs is because they are such good songs of praise to God. They are doctrinally sound. They're musically not worldly. They sing praise and glorify God. Modern Christian songs generally exalt and point to humans. I was this, and now I'm that, and I'm this, and I'm so this. And it's so shallow and repetitive and worldly. We don't do that. But I don't mind new songs. I think you ought to sing a new song to the Lord. I think it's good to even make up songs to God and sing praise to him. If it's not worldly and it's a good message, then praise to God is fine. Okay? We need to praise the Lord and sing praise to him. And all these verses. And let me go take the New Testament. I'll be in Hebrews. And get a couple of verses in Hebrews to read tonight. But praising the Lord in song. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 2, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our... It's Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. I did it backwards there. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. So the first way we're going to say is to praise the Lord is just sing praise to God. Listen, when you are in church, it is very easy when you know the song and you get distracted. And you're not thinking about the song, you're thinking about what you're eating for lunch. And you think about who's singing what. And you're thinking about what's going on here and what the note is and all the different music. Stop. We're singing these songs to praise the Lord. Okay, focus, and don't be afraid to close your eyes and look up or lift your hands or do anything else and praise the Lord with song. The Bible says praise the Lord in the church. Okay, the first way is in song. Second way is lifting up your hands. Oh, that's not Baptist. Oh, I'm sorry. And the psalm is very biblical, Psalm 28. By the way, it's very natural, unless you repress it, to lift your hands. You'll do it by nature. Psalm 28 and verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. I'm not going to read all the verses on lifting up your hands, but I'll read a good amount so you can realize how biblical it is. Psalm 63 and verse 4. it says this. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Psalm 63, 4. Psalm 134. And And verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Says it pretty clearly, doesn't it? Amen. Psalm 141 and verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And just so you know, it's in the New Testament. We'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll read you out of there. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'll tell you the truth is, there are a lot of people who are tired of the charismatic movement and the worldliness of it, and the bad doctrine, and the chaos of the services, and the emotion-based stuff, not the Bible-based stuff. I get that, but emotions are part of it. And we have people from charismatic churches come to our church, and they love the preaching. And they love the Bible teaching. And they'll learn more in a service than they've learned in 6 months of their church. And they like that, but they will tell me, Pastor, but I want to praise the Lord. I want to lift my hands, and I want to worship God in the singing, but nobody else does it, and I feel kind of isolated. And they shouldn't. They can come here and get right doctrine and get straightened out and get. They have a heart for God, and unfortunately, the charismatic movement, unfortunately, is many times following the TV evangelists and getting into the prosperity stuff and getting all messed up in their minds and all kinds of bad doctrine and no security of salvation. I understand all that, but I want you to know, they're more right on praising the Lord. Because they sing with their hearts and lift up their hands. And I'm not afraid to say we don't do things right. It's fine. We've got to get more worshipful in our services and be more willing to praise the Lord. Someone in service, hey, I'd be get just out loud when they find out how good God's been and learn some doctrine, say, praise the Lord. Now, don't disturb the service and be weird and start screaming and howling and rolling the aisle. We'll duct tape you up and throw you out back. Don't do that. But I understand, but you know what? We ought to be a place of praise. A place of praise. Lifting up your hands is biblical. Next, just some things on how. First, by singing. Two, by lifting up your hands. Third, everywhere. Psalm 150, since we're near there. That's why I like it in the mission field sometimes when they get with it, even though they're good and doctrinally sound. They sing with their hearts. They are many times not self-absorbed and so self-conscious as many times we are. We are so interested in how we look and appear to people. Amen? Let's see. Everywhere. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, Psalm 150. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with psaltery and harp. Praise him with tremble and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon loud cymbals. Praise him upon high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's all around in every way. Praise the Lord. Praise him everywhere. You know, you can praise him in bed. Psalm 149 and verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Lay in bed and sing praise to God. And by the way, your neighbor who blurs you with his music, if he gets offended when you praise the Lord who's singing, you know what? His music loud too. Praise the Lord upon your bed. Lay in bed at night and say, Lord, thank you for making me get through another day. Thank you. I had food today. Lord, you're so good to me. Lord, I praise you. I love you, Lord. And just go ahead and praise God in your bed. Praise God in your bed. It says do it. And go ahead and do it. Praise him in the great crowd. You read so many verses on that. We won't read any more. Hebrews 2:12 if you want one. And all the ones you read earlier. Praise him before eating. Boy, I know all you teenage boys like this one. And you want to praise the Lord more because you want to eat more. Matthew. I want you to notice this. It's very interesting because saying grace before a meal is a tradition. But I want you to know it's absolutely biblical. People in the Bible, they did it before they ate. They prayed before they ate. Okay, Jesus did it all the time. I'll give you just a section of verses. I'm trying to keep them a little bit together. Matthew chapter 15. And verse 36. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and fed the multitude. He prayed over his food. Matthew 26 and verse 27, it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, and then let's see if I want to do these other ones. Let me take it to Acts 27. I can take it a bunch of times where Jesus did it, but Acts chapter 27. Jesus, when before he ate, he would always pray and thank the Lord for the food. And that's a good thing to do, isn't it? Because it's God that gives us everything we eat. I know the farmer might have planted it, and this person might have plowed it, and this sower might have stole it, and you might have worked the money. But you know what? Nobody made those seeds. Nobody made that oxygen. Nobody made that dirt. God created all the ability for life. And by the way, when all the nature is not right and the storms are wrong and this and that's wrong, there's famines. So praise the Lord before you eat. Thank God for whatever food you have. Amen. Whatever food you have. Acts 27 and verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, they began to eat. So they praise the Lord for food, and food's a blessing. And praise the Lord for it, and thank God for it. Amen? Amen. You know what's awesome? And my mind maybe is kind of different and thinks weird. You know God could have made all food nasty, but it kept you alive? Can you imagine if everything tasted like whatever you don't like? Oysters and lima beans, and that was you had to eat what do they call those little snails that French people cook? Escargot. Hey, you know you could have eaten escargot every day to get your nutrition. You know what? But God made bacon. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God made hamburgers, and God made greasy food, and pizza. Oh, see, you don't get the praising thing. You're kind of casual. I've seen when he brought pizza to church and watched you. You appreciate it, but you don't praise the Lord for it. God made coffee. Aaron's praising the Lord back there. I want to tell you, God's made these things to richly enjoy. God has been good to us. And we should praise the Lord before we eat and thank God for all of our meals and praise Him. And don't be ashamed of that, by the way. Do it right in the middle of public school. Do it right in the middle of your job. Just praise the Lord. God gave you that food. Don't be ashamed of that. You bow your head and you say, Lord, thank you so much for giving me. And you praise the Lord for the food He's given you in the great congregation among the heathen. You praise the Lord in the crowd before eating. Next, just some ways to praise the Lord with understanding. Psalm 47 and verse 7, it says, for God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. You need to know why you're praising the Lord. You need to understand the truth that you're praising Him for. You need to understand why you're praising Him and do it with understanding. Don't just say, praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord with understanding. Know why you're praising Him. Next, oh, this is the one I really want to get to, Psalm 86. Because this is something I've got to do, and you got to do, and it's not easy. Psalm 86, and verse 12. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify Thy name forevermore. You know you're supposed to praise the Lord? With all your heart. I remember one night when I go out to pray at nighttime, I go out and I pray, and I start off with worship, and then I go to praise before I confess and ask for things. But one night, boy, I just got so excited about how good God had been to me and how great it was to be saved and how great heaven was. And I started throwing such a fit. I started praising the Lord so much and so loud. I threw my neck out. I was jumping and praising the Lord and throwing a fit and so just praising the Lord for what He'd done. You know what? I'd rather throw my neck out sometimes. I praise the Lord too hard than be the person who just goes throughout the day, never even one time. Or just, okay, thank you, God, that you gave me life. Thank you for saving me. Why don't you get into it, man? Hey, don't get more excited about your football team or your basketball team and be more excited in praising than you are praising the Lord with your whole heart. I wonder if you praise the Lord more intensely for your salvation than if you won $1 million. That didn't go over good. I wonder if you would praise the Lord more for being saved, be more excited than if somebody walked in the door tonight and said, I have a deed to a mansion over on the water here, and I'm going to give it to one of your people. And they walked up to you and said, here's a new mansion for you, all paid off. I wonder if you'd praise the Lord more for all he's done for you with your whole heart more than you would looking like some fool on The Price is Right. It's an old show, by the way. They used to. Anyway. Praise the Lord with your whole heart. Hey, do people know you're excited about what God's done for you? Do people know you have a passion for God? Do people know you're thankful, or do you just. Praise the Lord with your whole heart. Psalm 111. I'll read it again. See if we can get a little more out of you here. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Amen. In the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. I'll praise him with my whole heart in the congregation. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Hey, have you ever got alone? And do it alone, it's fine. I've never praised the Lord with my whole heart in church, but I have alone. And let me tell you, do you ever just get alone sometimes? Just throw a fit and get alone and just praise God that he loves you and he's never left you and that his mercy endures forever and he's so kind. And you got a mansion in heaven. And you get a new body someday, and Jesus paid it all, and he died on the cross, and God so loved the world, and for having a Bible, and for being saved, and for being free, and for good health, and just praise the Lord. You know, when I praise the Lord, I just start off praising him for being so patient with me. There's a bunch of attributes about God that have to do with patience. His mercy endures forever, I praise him for. That his love never ends. Then I praise him for that beautiful combination of words stuck together in Psalm 117. His merciful kindness is great toward us. I need merciful kindness from God. And that merciful kindness is great toward me. And I praise him that he's kind to me and he's merciful to me and he's so patient with me and that he still loves me and he still wants. And I just start getting excited about how good God is to me and how blessed I am and how many good things there are and how great it is to serve and just get excited. Don't make some 13-year-old girl, a girl who gets her first boyfriend, be walking in the cloud nine, and you're going saved and going to heaven, and you're, Be excited with your whole heart, and praise the Lord with your whole heart. Last thing I want to say is praise the Lord often. Praise the Lord often. Psalm 72. Psalm 72. And verse 15, and he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of sheep. Let me see, got the right verse. This is the verse I want. Let me go. I got so many, so I'm not in trouble here. Psalm 71. Here we go, verse 6. It says, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Psalm, 119. Got a lot of verses here, and we won't go to all of them again. There's too many. Psalm 119. Continually, it said there, verse 164, it says this, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. It's just for the Bible I praise you seven times a day. Psalm 146. Verse 2, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Man, we got a lot of verses, a lot of things in here. Praising the Lord. One more, Psalm 35. Verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Listen, what are you praising the Lord? I used to, when I worked in the dock, I worked in a bunch of bad guys. They were rough people. And the language wasn't good. The worse than the language and the worse than all those things. When I was the pastor of this church, I was working on the dock at night, working graveyard, exhausted. Tired. You know when you're tired, you start getting discouraged and thinking angry thoughts and everything bothers you more. And I was exhausted all the time. I wasn't sleeping enough and I was working at night and doing the church during the day. And I was driving around on the forklift and unloading trailers and my back was messed up. But I had to do it to keep working. And the music was what bothered me the most. They would have all these nasty stations blaring. Blaring. And it would just be so oppressive. You know the thing I found that would break the oppression? I would just start singing out loud. Now on the dock, they would look at me crazy and they would wonder what I was doing. But there I am on my forklift, or there I am throwing boxes. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Pray, and just driving around and just singing out loud and praising the Lord. You know, boy, that lifting an oppression. There's power in praise. But God's been good to us. God's been good to you. Have you praised him? Have you given him glory? Are you embarrassed to praise the Lord? Let's just say it. Are you somebody who has not spoken how wonderful? Are you a person maybe not even in private as God alone and just said, Lord, I praise you. I just love you and worship you, God. Thank you for bringing me to salvation. Thank you, Lord. I messed up this week. Thank you for being so patient. Have you been patient? And have you been kind to the Lord like he's been kind to you? Have you come to the Lord and just lifted up your hands and praised him that you're healthy and that you're saved and your family's okay? I thought this week, I couldn't believe it. Not one of my children's ever spent a night in the hospital. I have 7 kids. It's a miracle I never put them in the hospital. I've never spent a night in the hospital in my life. And you know what? I was thinking this week, saying, I said, pray, Lord, thank you so much. Boy, nothing worse than your child having serious issues. There are so many things to praise the Lord for. And if you're saved and you're in a Bible preaching church and you have a copy of the Bible and you have food in your stomach and you can get up and walk and talk and see and hear, you got some things to praise the Lord for. Amen? Amen. I thought I'd get an amen when I first said it. Don't make me make you say amen. Don't make me make you say praise God if you really praise God. You ought to say, I got to say something. Lord, you've been so good to me. We talk about our mansions, and you say, oh, Lord, thank you. Right in the middle of church. That's okay. God will forgive you. It's okay. Praise the Lord. And you know what? If you lift your hands in church, it won't bother me a bit. I know some Baptists might come in here and might be upset. That's okay. Don't worry about them. Just worry about what God wants. And he's been waiting to get praised with your whole heart. Hey, you know what it looks like? God has given us a building that is bigger than we need, and they're going to pay to make it nice for us and give us 6 months free rent in King County. Praise the Lord. You know how blessed we are. Do you know how good it is that you just heard a Bible message with good doctrine, and you just got read, I don't know how many verses I read, 40, 50. You know how blessed you are to have that freedom and to be in a church like that. I know you can find things wrong with the church. I can find things wrong with you too, okay? And we don't say you can't come back in. Might sometime, but we haven't yet. You have so many things to praise God for, and the devil gets you to gripe about what? You gripe about what today? You have too much pride and too self-conscious. Say, you know what? Praise the Lord. He's been good to me. Well, I'm going to keep it inside. Okay, try that. with people who do good things for you and see how they like it, just like God will. No, you need to say something. Express your thankfulness. Make his praise glorious, it says. Make his praise glorious. Make a big deal if God... Hey, listen. We got somebody who came to church today. They got saved. Amen? They went from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, and they're back here tonight to church. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things to praise God for. Or you can sit in your hand and say, it's not my thing. Oh, yeah? How you doing during the football game? You can get expressive then. Stinking officials! That was a ripoff! Oh, man! Hey, what are you... But then at church, I'm just a kind of a quiet guy. Listen, you've got a God who wants you to make his mighty deeds be known. And you got to praise him. And you got to make his praise glorious with your whole heart. Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we just taught your word tonight, I pray that you worked in our hearts as we need to do it. Lord, I need to do better at this, Lord. And I've tried to be more expressive and praise you better. And Lord, I say things in such a monotone way sometimes. When you do something great, Lord, I just pray you forgive me for not doing a good enough job at this. And I pray tonight that we would make your praise glorious. And I pray we'd give you honor and glory. We'd make it such a big deal and do such a good job of giving you glory that you'd want to do more things for us. Because we do such a good job of praising. Lord, may in a griping world, may there be a praising church. I pray tonight that we wouldn't be afraid to lift our hands, to praise the Lord, to tell people what you did for us, to thank you for something you did, Lord. And may we make it glorious and with our whole hearts and be excited to praise you, Father. Lord, work over our pride and help us to be humble and thankful and love you. We just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do these things and just be strong enough to admit we haven't done like we should. In Jesus' name, amen. It's about eyes closed. Now, simple invitation.